Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name's Dan Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith. And today we are joined by Vivi Lightbody. Yay!
How are you today?
Hey, I'm great. Cool. I'm feeling happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. What day is today? Wednesday?
It is Wednesday. Today's still my Friday.
It is your Friday.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah. Thursday is always my day off. And mm-hmm. so Wednesday night, I'm like the most chill version of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fun because you scheduled like two interviews for tonight.
I did. But they were cool interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the second one hasn't happened yet.
The coolness of this one.
There was one before you.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. We talked to, do you know the DIY venue, A Pile of Teeth?
No, but it sounds cool.
They're pretty new and it's out of some guy's apartment and they are a curatorial hip hop focus.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's
what neighborhood? Oh my
god! Sorry, I don't mean to completely interrupt this conversation, but Moody is asleep in your lap. Which is like for avid listeners of the podcast, you know that Moody is frequently in lap, but it's rare that she is so comfortably in lap that she has fallen asleep.
It's my vibe right now.
Yeah.
Just
chilling. Are you a big cat person?
I mean, cats, dogs, lizards, whatever.
Yeah. Like
I can take any pet as long as it's like a cool, like nice behaved pet. That's like all that matters to me. Like it could be a parrot. I mean, whatever, birds are fine, but
I don't trust birds.
Yeah, I don't trust birds. So take that back. Anything but a parrot.
Yeah.
I just like, as long as it's like a chill animal, you know?
I appreciate that because I feel like there's a lot of like people ask you like, do you like cats? And you have to put them up against dogs.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we can all get along.
I like both.
Yeah.
And there's like other pets.
Right.
Rabbits. Yeah.
Our social media manager has rabbits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am really thinking about getting a lizard, though, which is...
Lizards are cool, though.
When I was in fourth grade, cool. I very badly wanted an iguana, and my mom intensely talked me out of it.
Yeah.
She was not into it.
Yeah. Do you know what I weirdly want, but would, like, I'm afraid would kill our cats, is an owl?
That would absolutely kill our cats.
Their talons are, like, really impressive. Just like, wow, that thing, those talons could probably take off like a human head, the way they're just so big. But I watched a video of someone like washing their owl.
Oh.
And to do that, you have to use like a spray bottle, and the owl loves it.
Oh,
just
gosh.
So happy.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely kill your cats, but yes. Like,
especially Moody.
Yeah, unless you like maybe like trained it to, I don't know.
I gotta imagine. I mean, like, I know that, like, part of the whole cat thing is that we've like domesticated them as a species to be the way that they are, but I don't know. I don't always buy into that, like, you can't have a fox as a pet thing,
right? Because you could kind of have anything as a pet,
right?
Yeah. I mean, there are people who have like pigs for pets.
Yeah,
pigs I hear are good pets though.
Yeah.
All right. So we're so glad that you're here. I learned about your music from the old faithful DIY Chicago Facebook group. I think like our next 10 interviews are going to be like different people that I've met from there, just because we're trying to like meet a bunch of people that are making dope music. And so then we listened to your music and we loved it, and it was really rad. So for people that do not know your... That is very loud. Oscar going against the door.
Oscar fuckery.
For those that don't know about your music, would you mind telling people about it?
Yeah. So Vivi Lightbody is kind of my attempt at, well, I call it nap rock. Although people have been debating that recently, but that was my initial intention. I listen to soft music all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I just wanted to make music that I play in my bedroom, music that I could fall asleep to. I like saying like music you could take a little nap to and like wake up and feel really nice, and or like you fall asleep on the train sometimes. But it's kind of like, you know, I hate singer-songwriter, but it's like kind of like that. But I think that it dips into a lot of other different genres. Like, it's a little bit jazzy, and then there's, like, kind of, like, some Brazilian vibes, and then mm-hmm. there's, like, some weirder stuff, and then there's, like, straight folk, you know? Yeah. So I think it kind of just, like, pops around, but I want to... It's kind of, like... I'm trying to keep it approachable,
yeah.
but, like, weird enough where, like, musicians will be like, oh, cool, I get it.
Well, yeah. we were listening to it today, and it gave me really strong Angel Olsen vibes.
Yeah.
Which, like, nothing wrong with that.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I worship you, Angel, if you're listening.
Oh, my God. No, if Angel Olsen listens to this, I will die.
Oh, I will die. Yeah, I will die. Absolutely die.
We'd die. We'd die together. But, yeah. And, I mean, and that's kind of, like, you know, she's a definitely an inspiration for me. I'm, like, one of the many,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's interesting, like, a lot of times, like, female, like, anyone that plays an instrument, singers are thrown into this singer-songwriter category.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really... it's, like, not fair, because in a lot of cases, like, it's so, like, it's just so different, like, what people bring to the table that are thrown into that category.
Right. Yeah, and that's, I was having this conversation with one of my, or a musician from New York named Cassandra Jenkins, who mm-hmm. I saw recently at the Hideout, and she was kind of doing something very similar to Vivi, which was just not... was just so much more than, yeah, this kind of singer-songwriter, basic songs, basic chords, like, arrangements, and I don't know, I want to make it interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is unfair, I do get grouped into that a lot, you know, I've played some bills where I'm like, ooh,
mm-hmm.
shouldn't be on this bill.
Well, it's such a, like, so many people want to just be able to fit things into a box for ease of whatever, ease of programming or consumption mm-hmm. or whatever, but it's there's just so much, I feel like in a lot of ways there's just so much more going on developmentally in all of this and so many people's work.
I'm trying to defy genre.
Yeah, well, and I think that's like a really, like, someone said to me recently, not said to me recently, like, a thing that I keep hearing from different people, I don't know the original source, is that, like, oh, like, there aren't new original genres, is just always going to be, like, blending genres. And I don't know if that's entirely true, but it's interesting to kind of think about that, like, we've never been so aware of genre before, like, where it's like we're all, it seems like when we, like, you know, we talk a lot about, like, because we're both opera singers and we talk to a lot of theater people and we talk to a lot of musicians, we talk to a lot of different, like straight performance theater, performance art, and it's interesting, like, you know, when you talk about different mediums, like, it's, we all want to be able to say, like, this is what I am. But, like, a lot of times it's way more complicated than that.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, I know, one of the things you mentioned is that there's a very interesting story to your name.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about very, no, it's pretty interesting. I think it's good. I didn't think it was that interesting, but when I tell people, we'll see. I'm gonna see. I hope you guys like it.
I believe in you.
So it's my grandmother's maiden name is Virginia Lightbody.
Cool.
And my grandmother's a musician. And well, in the Vivi, really quick, that kind of comes from, well, Vivian. My name is Vivian, but then my mother is Victoria, and my grandmother's Virginia, and my late dog Val, you know, has the V name too. So, like, lots of V's floating around. And I've always kind of, like, you know, sometimes people call me Viv or Vivi, and then, like, Vivi really kind of, like, stood out. I'm like, that's a nice, like, shortening of my name that I don't hear very much.
Mm-hmm.
But then Lightbody, yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. My grandmother played piano, and I have memories of her playing piano for me when I was little, and I feel like, I don't know, I like to think of it as, like, carrying on the matriarchy a little bit, you know, because, like, she gave up her name when she got married, and, like, I don't know, I'm thinking about kind of, like, passing that name forward, you know, and mm-hmm. like bringing it to light a little bit. And it's just, like, a super Scottish name. And my grandpa Lightbody was, like, a big band trumpet player, and, like, you know, like, got stuck in Europe once and, like, convinced the ship captain to to, they're like, can we get back to America? We'll be the ship band. And they're like, yeah, sure. Come on. So
nice.
Yeah. So the name, I don't know. I think it's like, I think it deserves to be passed on. And, yeah.
I was going to ask at some point, like, how you got started in music, but it seems to be kind of a family thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you grew up with a lot of music?
Yeah. So my dad, just plays guitar and sings and would always just be like, you know, playing Beatles, Neil Young, Allman Brothers. Like, I have memories of him, like, you know, singing me to sleep. And there was always a guitar around the house. And then my older brother, he's like 4 years older than me, started picking up the guitar, and we had a piano, and it was just like, yeah, pretty musical. And then, yeah, it was like, of course I wanted to do everything my older brother did. And so he was like taking guitar lessons from my dad. I was like, I want to take guitar lessons from dad. And that's kind of what started it. I think I was in third grade when I like started like learning songs.
Nice.
And that was like, my background is like songs, which I think is another really important part of VV Lightbody as like a whole, is like songs. Like, I just love a good song. And sometimes bands are like really sweet and have good sounds, but I'm like, but where's the song?
Yeah.
Which is maybe lame of me, but sometimes there's like grumpy.
Well,
maybe.
No, because like in different, you know, with both of us having a classical music background, like there is a difference between like pieces and songs. Like,
right.
Like there is like a very specific like song tradition, mm-hmm. and it is very different from like other musical traditions. And so I think that identifying with that song tradition is like that entirely resonates with me.
Right. Yeah.
Well, in your experience, like that also like really like speaks to my experience. I also grew up in a very musical family. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the story of the day I was born is that my dad brought Beatles CDs into my mom's recovery room. Ugh. And so like, cause he was like, I want some of the first stuff she hears to be music. And
wow.
So like there is something so special about like it being so formative and like having those mm-hmm. memories, like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it yeah. like very much informed, and you know, I don't mean to speak for your experience, but it very much informed me being like, yes, music is what I want to be doing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Even though it's kind of interesting, like my dad never performed out.
Oh, really?
Until recently. So I used to play in a band with my brother, which we could talk about that backstory. But my dad just like in the last like 7 years just started like playing. I grew up in a really small town, like playing street fests and like open mics and like at the garden stock, you know, little festivals. And I'm just like so proud of him.
That's
and
so
it's like
good.
So special because it's just like, you know, I don't know where this like performer kick came from. I think it's actually from my older brother because he was doing it. But yeah, it's really cool how that, yeah. I mean, but I just know that music is just so, it's so important to me, and it always has been, you know,
yeah.
topic of conversation in my family all the time, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, so then you grew up with it, and then how did you go from like, just like it being a part of your day to day to it being something that you're like focused on?
Yeah. So in, you know, in high school I was like playing acoustic guitar, like loving, I don't know, who did I love? Who do I want to admit to loving? You know, like love John Mayer. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Right. You
it's
know,
it's really
I was
hard
like,
to when John Mayer was kicking around, when John Mayer was doing John Mayer, it was so hard to not be into John
Mayer.
I
know. And I was like, well, I guess I was like in him in like sixth grade, but then like in high school, like, you know, I was like listening to like Led Zeppelin and Joni Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And,
love Joni
I'm
Mitchell.
Just trying to think of like other songwriters, like Feist. I loved Feist as a high schooler. And so like, you know, I kind of, it was like when like indie rock was like really mm-hmm. in, right? And then, so when I was in high school, my oldest brother was going to school in Champaign-Urbana at U of I. And he started a rock band. And I was like, that is cool. I was like, that is so cool. And I like loved my brother's band. And then I went to college and also at the same place. and started my own band and then joined the band with my brother. So sorry to keep
punching.
I'm just punching the mic.
You gotta let it know.
Yeah, yeah. So so that's kind of, oh, so, you know, in college I just was like, you know, started my own band called Grandkids and then joined my brother's band, called Santa. Santa with an H at the end. I know, it's a lot. Like,
that's
so
the
many
college
jokes.
Band. Santa.
I know, I know. Well, it was Santa without the H, and then it kind of got added as a joke, and then we kept it. But, you know, we were touring, and, like, I was just, like, I remember, like, going to class and the first day and, like, telling my professors, like, hey, I'm in a rock band, and I need to take off this many weeks because I'm going on tour. And they'd be like, cool, all right, cool. Just like, as long as you get your work done, right? But then, I don't know. Honestly, it's not until recently. Like, I've always known, like, I love being in a band. That's a huge part of my identity. I love playing music, huge part of my identity. But, like, honestly, like, in the last year, I'm like, I really want to continue doing this and, like, do it really hard. And I think it's probably because this project feels very true to myself. Because Grandkids and Santa were very much, like, a democratic thing with other people, which I love. Like, I love working with other people, but, like, this is mine. There are some partners involved, but, like, this is, like, my idea.
I mean, it's your name. It is entirely your, like, every aspect of, like, the title VV Lightbody is, like, very personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, the project and the songs kind of started as reject songs from my other bands. Because then I'm like, this is a great song, but it doesn't quite fit. Mm. Like, this fits more to me and, like, when I'm, like, alone, you know? So
did you take a lot of the lead with Grandkids and Santa? Like, were you, like, the main songwriting force?
For Grandkids, I was. Although, that was a really, I mean, I guess we're still playing once in a while, but, yes, I came to them, you know, with, like, a bunch of songs, and that was very much, like, you know, kind of similar. Early Grandkids was, like, maybe similar to what VV Lightbody is now, which, like, I write the songs, they're fully completed, and, you know, we add, music on top of it. But then Grandkids became way more, like, you know, a functioning band where we all had ideas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, like, excited to, you know, kind of have a little more control with this project.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, what is your songwriting process like?
Yeah, good question. It varies, but it's a slow one, I'm learning. I mean, okay, once in a while I crank out a song in, like, 10 minutes, and those are the best ones, right? Those are the hits. Those are the slammers. I write slam in music.
Yeah. I mean,
slam in nap rock.
Yeah, yeah. But I usually, it just starts with, like, a phrase or a line. Like, I have a lot of, like, notes in my phone where I, like, think of, like, one lyric. And I'm like, oh, I love that. Like, I want to put that in a song. And then, like, I'll usually, like, sculpt the whole song around that lyric.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as, like, the music or words coming first, sometimes I have, like, a bunch of riffs in my back pocket. And I'm like, all right, this riff is going to feel really good with this lyric. And I try, you know. Lots of trial and error, but some songs I work on for just, like, years because I'm just trying to get them just right, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's very relatable to me. My notes section in my iPhone is just, like, a barren wasteland of ideas.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I just organized mine.
Nice.
I think I was on a plane, and...
Oh, yeah, that's the time to
do that.
You
know what I mean? And I was
absolutely.
Like, I'm like, what could I do that, like, could really help my life when I land?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I organized them. It was so beautiful. It's so beautiful now.
Yeah. One of similar thing to that, and sorry to completely go on a random tangent.
No,
but,
I love
it. For a while, my emails were something like... I don't know, like 2,000, 3,000, like the number said that.
Ooh.
And I think there were ones that were read, and I don't know how, I don't remember entirely how that works. But one day I just sat down for like 6 hours and just
wiped
got
it
down to zero. Oh, such a good feeling.
I really need to do that. I'm really it's behind with my so emails. Sad.
It's the hardest thing to do ever. In fact, like, mine's kind of fucked up again. It's not that bad. It's something at like 400 or 500, okay. Like that.
Yeah.
Like that.
I'm at like 900.
Yeah. Truth. No, that's not that bad, though. That's like a year, maybe?
It hurts, though.
I'm an inbox zero kind of gal. But that's because, like, I check my email every 15 minutes, and whenever a new email comes in, I either read it or delete it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is once you get it down to inbox zero once, you want to be that way forever. But I think I don't know. I get overwhelmed very easily.
I think it's a...
Same, Sagittarius. You got too many projects going on.
I want to focus on me, you know? I just want to... Yeah.
Well, and then Aries energy is like, burn it all now!
Yeah, right.
I love that.
Like, wow. I'm like, inbox zero forever!
Yeah.
Inbox zero.
Well, what was I going to actually ask about? Oh, well, I know I wanted to come back to kind of like the timeline of your existence as a musician, and so I was curious what kind of made you decide after your experience of like performing with bands to be like, okay, I'm going to do a project that is kind of my own.
There was a breakup.
Fair.
Yeah, which this record is very much about a breakup, which is kind of weird because it happened a really long time ago, and now it's like coming out, and like I'm like still friends with this person, and I'm kind of just like, oh, sorry, like, you know, like all these like, mm-hmm. like what person, is this about, you know?
Does this person know?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm sure. Yeah, I shouldn't speak anymore, but. He's great.
He shouldn't speak anymore.
No. It just, you know, it was just one of those things. It just didn't work out. And, we actually still play in music together.
Cool.
I'm like, how much?
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's fine. But it was that kind of spurred it. I mean, I was definitely starting to do the solo stuff because I was really interested in just like, oh man, I have this like direction, this other softer side of me that I want to more, I'm kind of like more feminine side of me that I really want to like explore. And like, because my band Grandkids kind of got way more like grungy, mathy, kind of like harder, which was so fun. Like I love rock and roll, but it was kind of like the breakup kind of stirred this, like, I'm going to do this, you know, like now's my time. And just, I think also being a little bit not frustrated with being in a band. Well, there was some of that. I just wanted more control, and I had a vision, and I believed in this vision. I was like, I think this could be cool. So yeah, that's kind of what spurred it.
Nice.
I think that, did that answer it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, so your upcoming album, I have kind of just like a flood of names in my head right now. I'm trying to remember if the song, thank you.
Bathing Peach,
because Fig Leaves is the track, right?
Yes,
that's the track I heard first, and I loved it. And I was like, oh, that was, I like listened to that song and then immediately messaged you I messaged you.
That's awesome.
So the new album, is this your first or second or?
This is the first release as VV Lightbody.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah. So
how does that feel?
Amazing. Like the show's in 2 days, and I'm like very excited.
It's in 2 days?
Yeah, it's at Shuba's.
It was. Would be rad. Yeah. Well, what did I message you like 3 days ago or something like that?
Yeah.
So rad that you were just like, let's do it.
Yeah,
because
let's do it.
I remember looking at it and I was like, oh, your album literally comes out in a week. Like, I'm gonna go for it. And I'm glad it all worked out.
Me too. It feels so good though.
Yeah.
I mean, in this record in particular, okay, so. Part of I was like talking about being in a band and feeling frustrated with just like I felt a lot of pressure on me and being in two bands. It was like when one band was in the studio, the other one was like writing, and then it would switch. So I felt like I was like always in the studio, which is like cool. Not a bad life. I'm first world problems, whatever.
But it's exhausting.
But it's exhausting, and I felt bad. I'm like, I'm not doing anything creative that I feel like I'm being really mean. I was doing creative things, but I wasn't taking time for like the creative things that I really wanted to pursue, which was like this. So I purposely like kind of wanted this record to take a while. I wanted to make it a recording process with, and it ended up being with my friend Dan, Pearson, who is also the keyboard player on the record and in my live band. But it was kind of like whenever he was free and whenever I was free. There was never like, and so it took like 3 years. It was a span of 3 years, which was grueling at times. But it was like, this record's going to be finished when it's finished. Mm-hmm. And that felt really nice because I could kind of take these deadlines off of myself. Towards the end, I was like, it's got to get out. Like, you know, and I definitely jumped it. But it feels just so, I feel like so much relief, you know?
Well, and one of the things that we kind of touched on before we started recording was the idea of, you know, like the thing that I noticed right away, what with like the videos and stuff that I caught, is that you're very, what is the word I'm looking for? Aware of, like aesthetic and trying to pull together aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And that feels very, like that to me is where it makes sense when you say like, I took three years to do this, because that is kind of bringing in all of, you know, like with the video for Fig Leaves, it feels very similar to, like when I saw the album cover, I was like, that makes sense. Cause it's like, it's very much part of kind of all of this experience. So I'm wondering if you could kind of speak to that kind of like building of an aesthetic thing.
Yeah. Well, thinking about like this idea of like nap rock and like the vibe of like, I mean, even the name like VV Lightbody, I feel like it's just kind of like flowy and, you know, dreamy almost. And I feel like, you know, I was talking about like this being more of like the feminine side of myself. Like I kind of just like, but it's this is a really good question. It just felt honestly like natural from the beginning. Like, and I felt like and this is why I really like it, because it's like this cover is just like something, a shirt I wear all the time. Like, I like flowers. I like, you know, I like the dreamy, vibey.
Oh, things. The shirt you're wearing?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like the print.
Oh, but the print is like something, you know. Sorry, I feel like there's a million things to talk about.
Aesthetic
right now.
Is a really hard thing to talk about.
Yeah, I kind
so
of
like, yeah.
Did not set you up. Like, it's not like I'm kind of throwing a fastball at you.
No, it's okay. I mean, I do think about it, and it's a lot of really small choices I'm realizing with this aesthetic, right? But it's just like, this is, I guess, like for the VV aesthetic, it's like, just like very much like, I'm thinking like, morning, coffee, like outside, hammocks, you know, like beach, like, but not like your typical beach, obviously.
Not
it's
like
not
surfing.
Like surf rock,
right?
Yeah,
right.
But just like also like water and just like being flowy and kind of like moving through. I just like, it's like very gentle and like, yeah. So I kind of want everything with VV just to be like, I don't know, I'm a pretty high stress person.
I was gonna ask, is this like, do you feel like this is a true embodiment of your spirit, or do you feel like this is like,
well, this is what I want to be.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, is this what you need in your life?
Yeah.
It's
oh,
just
totally.
Like you packaging what you need.
Yeah, exactly. And I think about this because after I play a VV Lightbody set, I'm like, ah, I feel awesome, you know. It's like so relaxing. And I think that's because the songs are so, these songs are like literally are like exactly what's coming out of my body. And I'm not adjusting them for anybody. I'm adjusting them for myself, mm-hmm. but it's like, it's very true to myself. So it's like when I'm in all like the vocals are, it's like everything's in my vocal range. You know what I mean? There's nothing that I'm like pushing really hard. It's just like, it's just coming out of me really gently, you know?
Well, and that's
it's like, I'm sweating. Just like sweating.
And that's such a refreshing, that's such a refreshing change from being in a band environment where, like, you know, maybe the song that you play that, you know, you're like, okay, you know, maybe this isn't the most comfortable for my vocal range, but it's this person's sweet spot. So like, I'm going to,
it's what the situation calls for. Instead, it's just like,
whereas this, yeah, it's just kind of like, this is me making art for what I need, and what I need is for it to just flow.
To be chill AF.
Yeah.
Chill.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to get up
this chat. And that's like, wow, yeah. I'm that's just like a cool discovery, because it's totally true. It's like I just was kind of a little bit tired of playing loud rock shows. I was like, I listen to quiet music all day, you know? I love soft music. And I mean, okay, once again, I love rock and roll, you know? But like, usually I'm listening to like, you know, Tropicália or like, you know, softer, like, I don't know.
Well, and you know, you like, say softer, but it's also not entirely like wind chimes and...
Right, yeah. Yeah. I mean, just like gentle, I don't know. Easy listening is not the word.
No, I know what you, you mean. Know what I mean. But yeah. It's like, what I'm going to say makes it sound like the music is not complex, which is not true, but like, it doesn't challenge you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that?
No, and that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to be like, people can just like absorb it. And it's just like, this is a cool, nice song. And there's like your little weird tidbits for all like, you know, my mm-hmm. musicians out there. And there's like definitely some dissonance in there too. But it's like, yeah, it's not, I wanted something, because in my bands, I was being challenged in different ways. Like Grandkids, I loved being in that band because we were like, oh my gosh, crazy time signatures. Like, you know, I was like, I definitely like improved as a guitar player with that band and like a singer, because like, you know, we were writing really weird stuff and it was like challenging to perform it. In Santa, it was challenging because it was that's my brother's project. So that was challenging because I had to stay within a boundary there as well, because mm-hmm. I played more of a role. So this was just like, this is like, yeah, not challenging, but like also interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get a little bit more into the album. So one of the things you mentioned is like you're being drawn to songs. Is this album like thematically, like is it more a collection of songs, or is it like kind of, is it like a through line, if that makes sense?
Oh yeah. It's like, it's a pretty through line. I mean, it starts, the first song is kind of about like, I wanted to write the perfect love song. Okay. Do you guys know the Disney Robin Hood?
Yeah. With the one that... Is that that's the one
with
that
the
was
foxes.
Like a fox, right?
Yeah.
I'm not... That's one of the ones that my parents were not able to buy when it was released from the Disney vault.
Okay.
So that is not in my childhood canon.
So I had that one, and I always think about describing like the first song on the VV record as like, there's the moment when Robin is singing to Maid Marian, and it's like the, love, it feels like only yesterday. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm gonna paint
the picture for
okay,
the listeners.
Okay.
But there's like all these like puffies, and like Robin and Maid Marian are just like so in love, and just like there's all these like pink, like, I don't know, fireflies or like cotton wood, I don't know, it's like going around, and it's like so beautiful, and it's like golden hour. And like that song, for some reason I was thinking about that song, and I'm like, what a perfect love song. And I was like, I want to write a perfect love song. And so Gaze, the first song on the record, is kind of like my quote unquote attempt at a perfect love song. So that's kind of where, you know, thematically the album starts in like a really beautiful, nice place, but then it kind of like moves into like a, you know, a breakup album, I would say. And so I'm just thinking about the order.
Do you want the CD?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean,
not that you don't you probably have a sense, but
yeah, I mean, I guess it's not like a story. It's not a story. Like the sure. whole, it's yeah. like 1 to 9 is not like a through story, but there's definitely some like returning themes of like waves and water is like a huge theme on mm-hmm. this, like just kind of like the literal ebb and flow, you know.
I'm so interested in the concept that this was written over the course of 3 years, because like, just like thinking about my life has changed so much in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And considering that this album for you has been a kind of like sussing out what you needed artistically, mm-hmm. like the fact that you were able to accomplish that in a way that you're still feeling satisfied over the course of 3 years
yeah.
is like absolutely incredible, because what I needed 3 years ago is not what I need now.
Right. Well, to be honest, it, like, some of these songs, like, I wrote, like, 5 years ago. Which is hard for me. And that's why I'm, like, super stoked that it's coming out, because I'm, like, ready to kind of, like, even though this is not how it's going to work, I'm kind of ready to, like, push these songs aside, because low-key I have, like, a whole other record written. But, that's, you know, but I'm going to, like, I'm going to record that one in, like, a week and be done with it. So that's maybe for the next episode. But, you know, I got to talk about this one for a while, which is helpful for me.
Yeah.
But I can kind of separate, like, I don't, when I'm singing these songs, like, I don't necessarily feel what I was feeling when I wrote them, but I can, you know, and I can separate that, which is cool. I mean, sometimes, like, they bring back emotions, and but it's like, you know, because I believe in my heart that they are good songs, it's like I can kind of, like, you know, move past that and be like, okay, this was a moment in my life, and I wrote these songs about it, and now I have them forever, and I can still perform them, and, you know, even if, you know, I'm, like, feeling a fraction of what I felt, you know?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Well, it's super interesting to think about, because, like, I think it, you know, it's interesting for us, because one of the things I always really loved when I was singing was performing, like, art song rather than performing, like, a role, because in a lot of ways you can pull from your own experiences and kind of emotional experiences, but it ends up being like a different, because it's not the same thing as like going method for a role or something, you know, where you're like getting yourself into, but it's more just like kind of accessing and touching at something that happened in your life and pulling from that, but not as a like performative tool, but not necessarily like rehashing this emotional experience. Totally.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's the thing is like, you know, that's a really good point, because I'm like thinking about that and I'm still able to pull from like experiences that happened like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, some, you know, but it's not, yeah, it's like, I don't, well, another thing, another point is that what I love so much about Vivi Lightbody is that it's a reflection of myself, but it's not like 100% like a mirror image.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not, it's like kind of, it's like an alter ego, but like very, very similar to myself. You know, so there's some like truths and there's some exaggerations and there's some like, you know, songs that I'm like, oh, this is like fake, but as under the name Vivi Lightbody, it's like nobody knows that, which feels really good too. So I've been exploring that realm a lot.
Cool.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, the way that you're talking about like, oh yeah, you know, with, I'm thinking specifically of like breakup music, because there are songs that for me like very much signify a time surrounding like either a relationship or a breakup that like for a while, like there are certain songs that like for like a year I could not listen to.
Yeah.
And but like I can listen to them now and like there's so much, I'm almost thankful that I had that experience, like that kind of roller coaster with that song, because it adds so much more depth to it. Like, I think that there, I've only have one song that's coming to mind for me that like really does do that to me, where like I was like, I can't listen to this for like a year, but then I kind of like reclaimed it, and like there's like a recording of me singing it somewhere, and it's just like, it's like I
can,
so,
I know what song.
Oh yeah, it's it's the song, did you see Inside Llewyn Davis?
Yeah.
If I had wings like Noah's dove, I'd fly the river. Yeah, that song wrecked me for like a year.
Wow.
And then I like fucking, I was like, I love this song. I will not let this song be taken from me. And then I like got to record it for a thing and like,
awesome.
And it was like, it was so like, but like specifically like breakup music is so incredibly powerful. And what I love about being a person listening to somebody's breakup music is that like, although I have no idea the nuance of that particular breakup, like the power coming from it is so fucking relatable and so cathartic to experience.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and that's, that makes me really happy, you know, to hear. And hopefully you're not the only person who can listen to some of these songs and be like, wow, like, she was really feeling that one. Or like, yeah, you know, that one hurt a lot. Or like, man, I could really relate to that, you know. And that's powerful in itself. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I know.
Sorry, I'm like, there's so many. This is great. I'm having the best time.
Cool. I know one of the things that we always love kind of hearing about is what does the city of Chicago mean for your art? Like, what do you feel like, you know, because you mentioned that, was this on the show or was this before we started recording? That you moved here like 5 years ago.
5 years ago, yeah.
And so a lot of this writing time was here, right?
Yeah, well, some of it was a lot. Actually, I just thought of another key moment.
Sure.
Of like wanting to kind of like shift gears, which was I studied Spanish in college. That was my major. And my senior year, the summer of my senior year, like the summer I graduated, I studied abroad in northern Spain. And I brought a classical guitar with me. And I spent a lot of time alone with like that classical guitar, like, and specifically on the beach. So, but that was kind of like right. I literally went to Spain, graduated, and moved to Chicago, which was like psycho. And like, I'm thinking about that now and I'm like, what was I doing? You know, I didn't even like move in with my parents for like a couple of months. It was like literally direct. Which was, now that I'm thinking about it, probably a pretty intense experience.
There's a cat just you got a cat. Sniffing your head.
cat sniff. You know, probably a pretty intense experience for me. But, like, also I was, like, vibing on this, like, you know, this kind of, like, energy of, like, you know, warm summer beachy vibes. And the question was about, writing in Chicago. Well, and then I lived in this house with my boyfriend at the time, who plays drums in Grand Kids, and a musical couple, and like a really cool couple. But I was so influenced by the musicians and the artists around me that I was doing a lot of writing at that time. And like at one point I remember my roommate bought a piano, and that kind of like also was a shift where I was like, oh cool, like there's a real piano in my house now. And I started arranging and like really putting things together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love pianos, obviously, but when that moment of like having an actual real piano is so amazing.
Oh, it's so.
When I got this one, I got it like 3 years ago in my old apartment. I just found it on Craigslist for free. So, but it's just that,
it
that
changes
feeling.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's just like such a, like what music making has always been, mm-hmm. of that kind of like it being a corner of your house, of this like dedicated space.
And yeah.
Yeah. No, there's just something really amazing about an actual upright.
Yeah. I feel like I kind of like dodged the question there, but, but yeah, I mean like thinking about Chicago, I mean, it's hard. I think that, you know, like your point about like, this is the music that I need to kind of like balance myself out. I think that's like very accurate, because like moving, I lived in Champaign-Urbana, which is like chill college town, mm-hmm. like very quiet.
My whole family went to Champaign.
Yeah.
Went to U of I, and it's like nothing there.
Yeah. And I think I loved that. And I grew up in a really small, quiet town too. So moving to Chicago, you know, think it's like more chaotic, a lot more stressful. I was going through like, you know, early 20s. Early to mid 20s, and I think this project is like a result of needing to slow down, you know.
Well, that's so interesting, because that's something I think about a lot of about Chicago, is that in a lot of ways, like it can be a very like balancing space. I mean, it is a giant city, and it is like, mm-hmm. there's so much going on, but it also has a like, but like a middle kind of like between experiences. What is he doing? Sorry. You know, like it's between the coasts. It's between so many different things. Like the rural is not as far here
Yeah.
You know, like, so many people come here from places nearby. Like, it has, like extreme Midwest kind of vibes.
Yeah.
And it's, that idea of it, like, kind of being a balancing, like, space and, like, finding what you need after a certain kind of experience is, like, really relatable and interesting.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think it is like a balancing act, you know, and I'm still figuring that out.
For sure.
And I mean, even just thinking about like space, like you know, our practice space for a long time was, one of my bands was living in Bridgeport and our practice space was all the way like north of Logan Square. And it would take like an hour and a half to go like rehearse. And then Vivi Lightbody was like me playing songs in my room alone.
Mm-hmm.
So like that comfort of there, just like I don't have to go anywhere, I can play these songs anywhere at any volume. And it's like, that's the thing, is like I am such a busybody that like this project has really helped me like stay home and like put time into writing. And does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it feels so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we have a few minutes left, so the last thing we like to do with all of our guests is a 1-minute plug for anything they have upcoming. Sometimes it's very obvious, like letting people know where they can find out about an album release show and about letting them know where they can find out about an upcoming album between cat meows, I guess. I don't know what's up with him tonight.
Oscar fuckery is what is happening.
But otherwise, we also love hearing shout-outs to other folks that are doing dope work or any media that you're consuming. Oh my God. books, TV shows, movies, stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you know when this will be?
Friday?
Oh, so the day of. Okay.
Oh, we can do it sooner than that.
Oh, well, it could be.
Honestly, we could. So.
Up to you all.
We could throw this up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so that's Thursday. So tomorrow. Okay, so 1-minute plug.
It can be any length of time. We say one minute to give it any sense of structure.
Yeah. so my release show is tomorrow, and it's at Shuba's, and I'm very excited because I have a 9-piece band.
Cool.
Oh my God.
So I have
that's fun.
Drums, guitar. I play guitar, then bass and keys, and I have my 2 flute players and my good friends who perform in a group called Ohm. They're really awesome duo, trio kind of, but they're singing background vocals. And I'm just really excited. It's going to be an awesome show, and you can get the record online. It's not on vinyl yet, but there's... I know. Someday soon. That's why I was impatient, and I was like, this record's got to come out.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, but you'll be able to listen on Spotify and all the other sites too. So
cool.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So, that's kind of me right now. I mean, as far as like media consumption, I'm just like watching a lot of Adventure Time.
That's legit.
So good.
Yeah.
Have you seen Steven Universe?
No, but everybody's been telling me, and that's my next thing.
I know. Really good.
But
well, especially if you like Adventure Time, you would love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's me, and I'm just like proud of all. Like, I feel like there's so many awesome Chicago bands that are releasing records this summer. The list is like endless, but I'm just like proud of all my Chicago friends just doing their thing, and like people pushing forward.
Yeah.
You know, because we need that right now.
Absolutely.
We need art more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
So.
Cool. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Daniel Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
If you want to keep up with what we are up to, there are so many ways you can do that. The first is to head over to scopymag.com. That's our website. We post articles and podcast episodes there daily. You can find out about a bunch of different stuff. Most likely, the thing that you'll probably be able to see is our feature from our podcast episode with Pie Pie My Darling, who is a cake maker that we love and fangirl for very hard. She's great. The cakes are really good.
They're amazing vegan cakes. They're so good.
Yeah. Otherwise, you can find us on social media. On Facebook, we have a Facebook page called Scoppy Magazine. We also have a Facebook group called Sounding Board that we love and adore, where we talk about art and politics and astrology and stupid stuff and smart stuff. It's great. Also, you can find us on Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram under Scoppy Mag.
You can tell when you get self-conscious about astrology.
Yeah, it's like in my tone. And also you can find the podcast at iTunes, Google Play, and Radio Public under Scoppy Radio.
And I'm here to talk about the importance of subscribing. If you head to our website, scoppymag.com, and go to our subscribe page in the top left corner, there are a couple ways that you can do that. The first is to enter in your email address to receive an email every time we post something. This is important because although we post across social media platforms, Facebook eats our shit. So if you want to see everything that we're doing and not just 30% of it, then I suggest that you sign up for those email blasts. You'll be the coolest kid in town if you do that, I promise. Another way that you can subscribe is to become a member. For $5 a month, you'll get a pin with our slogan that you'll hear from Daniel shortly. And at $10 a month, you'll be on the RSVP list for house shows that we're going to be producing in our humble abode. So get on that. It's going to be really cool. And if you're interested in advertising with us, please feel free to reach out to us at scoppymag@gmail.com. So give a little, give a lot. And if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Cool. Thanks again so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.